And ladies, if you're interested in that, please see my wife or Melissa, and they will get you going. Thank you so much. Please take your Bible this morning and find 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, you should have an outline. Chuck, you ready to hand out some outlines? And you should have another document that says random concluding lessons and reminders. So you should have a little one and a big one. I want to go over both of those this morning. So if you did not get both of those, please hold up your hand and Chuck will find those and get those to you. All right. Thank you so much for coming. Yeah, Don, we'll get you one, okay? He's coming. All right. He is coming. Just hold up your hands. We're going to, yeah, okay. And I'll probably say this again this morning, but this is a very tough topic, and you might have some questions that I'm not covering this morning. So if you have a question, please jot it on a piece of paper, give it to me, email me, call me, or see Vic or Brian, okay, because they could probably answer it better than I can. All right, dealing with the whole area of government, our responsibility, and it's a challenge today as we see our nation slip and slide very quickly from biblical moorings. So it's going to be very, very challenging. All right? 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 13 through 17, and I'm using the scriptural journal that's on the information table. I'm test driving the ESV this morning, so if it sounds a little different than the New King James, it is. Okay, it's another good translation we want to try out this morning. Thanks. From a biblical perspective, from looking at God's Word, government is a gift from God. You believe that? Bible's very, very clear. Government is a gift from God. I believe there's two other organizations, if you want to call them that, that are gifts from God. And what might they be? The family, marriage and the family are grace gifts from God. Okay, so there's government, there's marriage and family, and the church. You'll find that those three organizations, institutions, are grace gifts given by our Heavenly Father. But all of them have set boundaries. All of them have set lanes to run in. And when you're running in your lane, Don, you're a truck driver, right? When you're running in your lane, you're doing fine. But when someone crosses over their lane, someone goes where they're not supposed to be going, it could be a disaster. You with me so far? All right. Several years ago now, and in my life, everything several years ago, I was in New Jersey, and we had one of those snowstorms. The snow is not as white in New Jersey, okay, it's sort of a gray, dark color. But anyhow, we had several feet of snow. Sue, help me, was it 3, 4, remember that one night? 3, 4? All right, it was a lot of snow. And Christy Whitman, our governor, said, stay off the road. It was bad. And our house, the church house, was quite a ways off the main road. And to tell you how busy our main road was, we would listen to the radio in the morning to know whether to go out or not. It was really, really congested, whether to make a right or left on that thing. And I remember, you had the same storm out here. It was one of those storms that ton of snow, and then it heated up, and then it went into an amazing deep freeze. I saw guys using their chainsaws to get out of their driveway. Did you do that out here? No, you didn't. Okay. Thanks, Chuck. When the snow, it was, remember, deep freeze, super deep freeze. In fact, I was driving the car on the front lawns. We were doing ice skating on all the fields. That's how frozen it was. Well, one day it began to thaw, and we got a torrential rain. And the rain, the water, was not going where it was supposed to go. It was supposed to slide down the hill. But because of the snow and because of the way it was plowed, the snow was angled toward the house. And I remember Home Depot sold out of all their little sump pumps because everybody was going the same thing. The rain, the water, was not staying in its lane. And I kid you not, we were panicking because at any moment the water was going to come in and flood the basement. And you could tell me other examples how things can be a disaster when certain things do not stick to their lane. We are witnessing this with velocity speed, high velocity speed in our nation. We are looking at something that God created moving out of its lane, going into lanes it has never been designed to do so. And we'll explain a little bit this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17 tells us that no matter what particular government we are under, all right, and it changes from country to country, we as citizens of another country, or rather of another kingdom, have a responsibility to that government. And that responsibility is, you're not going to like this word, we are called to submit, obey. And we are told to do so, you'll see that this morning, because simply is God's will. This is a huge, I said controversial topic, and I will begin by suggesting that you do a little more homework for yourself. One of my favorite pastors out there, Dr. John MacArthur, preached on human government years ago. He's doing it right now. And if you get his messages on Romans 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2, the old ones and the new ones, they're very, very good. They're very dogmatic and very, very practical. And what I want to do, I want to go through these verses with you this morning. Peter wrote 1,957 years ago about, okay? That's how old this is. But it's so practical for today. And what we do here at York Bible, if you're new to us, I like to take a book of the Bible and just go through it. I like to go verse by verse by verse, and whatever the Word of God says, we will cover it. And if it's a happy topic, we'll cover it. And if it's a mean topic, we'll cover it. Okay, I just want to be the messenger. I don't make this up, okay? We just want to give this to you. Follow your Bible this morning. I'm going to read it, then I'm going to give you five observations, then I'm going to jump to the large page you have, and you're sort of going to get three messages all at once, because I haven't seen you in a while, so, you know, I'm anxious to do this, all right? 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with 13. Very clear. And Peter, let me remind you, is writing to Christians who are living under a government that was persecuting them, and it's about to get worse. They're not living in a nice country like we are. It is really tough times. Follow along. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, where Peter says, "Be subject or submit for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor, the king as supreme, or to governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good." Verse 15, bottom line, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God." Verse 17, "Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." Five observations. These are not new to you. These are not popular right now, but let's go through those. Okay, thanks for coming. Number one, let me remind you of an overarching kingdom principle, and that principle is submission. Say it with me. Not tradition, submission. Submission. That's a Bible word. And I'm just, I smile out loud how often people who know better, even Bible scholars, try to take that word that's so clear and make it say something it's not saying. Because we don't like the word. We don't want to submit. How many like to submit? I don't. I want to be boss. What was that TV show? I'm the boss of me, or no one's the boss of me, or whatever that was. Yeah, that's us. Verse 13, "Be subject to the Lord's sake to every human institution." We are called out ambassadors. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we belong to a different kingdom, but we are told to be subject to human government. Another favorite Bible teacher, Dr. Chuck Swindoll, and Dr. Swindoll is so practical. He wrote, "God has placed us here to be ambassadors of a different kingdom, to lead others to a better city whose architect and builder is God." But let me remind you this morning, the Christian life is a life of submission. Look at 1 Peter with me. And by the way, submission is simply self-denial. It means taking up my cross daily, dying to self, following Jesus. First Peter, you're not going to like some of these, but I'll give them to you anyhow. First Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Find that. First Peter 2, 18. Peter's going to come along and say, servants, be subject to your masters. Maybe we'll look at that next week, all right? First Peter chapter 3, verse 1. You'll love this one. You'll love this one. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Paul said the same thing in Ephesians chapter 5, right? That even if some do not obey the word, they will be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. Peter writes, for this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves. In other words, this is how they made themselves beautiful, Peter says, by submitting to their own husbands. Wow. If that's not countercultural, I don't know what is. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 22. It says this of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven. He's at the right hand of God with angels and authorities and powers having been subjected to him. They submit to him. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm just showing you these in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, the younger men are told to submit, be in subjection to their older spiritual leaders. Let me define this for you. You know, we think we know what submitting is, but it's being redefined today. Simply, being in subject or submitting is to voluntarily place oneself below or under another, expressed in respectful obedience and honor. And remember, we talked about lanes before. There are other biblical principles when someone does not stay in their lane, okay? So this is just a general teaching. To voluntarily place oneself below or under another, expressed in respectful obedience and honor. We'll look at Romans chapter 13, verse 1, where we are told to subject ourselves to the governing authorities. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 says the same thing. And by the way, I need to say this. Submitting to someone has nothing to do with intelligence, giftedness, or equality. Right? In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, being God, right, being equal with the Father, still submits to his Father. That's a controversy going on in theology right now. You'll never find, if you could find one, let me know. You'll never find a passage where the Father is submitting to the Son. The Son is always, he said what? I have come to do what? The Father's will. Has nothing to do with intelligence, giftedness, or equality. And especially when it comes to the marriage situation. The wives, we know we talk about this every Wednesday night. Our wives might be more intelligent, more gifted, more everything than we are. But still, there's a biblical mandate there. I want you to see something. I just saw this for the first time going through this passage. In 1 Peter chapter 2, this is fascinating. In 1 Peter chapter 2, I want to find it here. Verse 13. That's where I'm at. When Peter says, this is fascinating, and I can't find this in any translation. When Peter says, be subject to the Lord's sake to every human institution, the word there, institution, is the same word. It's a Greek word which means creature or created thing by God. It's not the word for government. It's the word for something that God created. And I'm saying, thinking to myself, why would Peter use a word like created thing to refer to the government over us? Why would he do that? I'll tell you why. Because in Peter's day, emperor worship was very popular, right? Who did the emperor think he was? God, right? What did Nebuchadnezzar act like? We're studying Daniel. They act like God. So Peter saying, hey, you know what? If you're tempted to get involved in emperor worship, be reminded that even government is just a created thing by God. There's only one God. There's only one creator, all right? So it is a created thing. And just to be reminded that they're just creatures. So Peter begins by giving us an overarching principle, that of submission in action and really attitude. Okay, it has to be a heart attitude. Number two, and we'll go quick here. Number two, the extent of submission. The extent of submission is simply all-inclusive. All-inclusive. It says every human institution, whether it be to the emperor, the king is supreme, or to governors sent by him. We are to submit, obey every human authority. And by the way, when you see the word governor there, don't think of Tom Wolf, okay? Don't think of that, okay? Don't think of him. Pray for him. The word there, governor, is generic for anybody the king appoints to carry out the decree of the king. Okay, it could be senators, it could be anybody and everything, all right? That's all inclusive. And then, let me remind you this, in verse 14, the Bible tells us the government's primary duty. Why did God give us government? Here's two reasons he gave us government in verse 14. This is so good. The word of God is so good. That the governor is sent by the king here, created by God, to do two things. What are they, by the way? Find them for me. What are they? To punish evil and what else? To punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. First responsibility of the government, and we have signs in our yard. A lot of us have signs in our yard. They are to preserve law and order. Okay, that is the responsibility of government, to preserve law and order. Find Romans 13 in your Bible. Find Romans 13 in your Bible. This is a key passage. We'll go over it again. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. This will make you feel really good, particularly with tax season coming up, right? It's always good to look at Romans 13. And remember that paying taxes is a Bible thing, right? Romans chapter 13 tells us about human government and why we have human government. This thing, this movement to defund the police is absolutely anti-biblical, okay? Black and white, all right? Let every person, Romans 13, right? Let every person, that's you and I, be subject to the governing authorities. And Paul here says something we're going to repeat again this morning. For there is no authority except from God, and those who exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers, verse 3, are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is right, and you will receive his approval. Here it is, verse 4. For the governing authorities, whether they know it or not, I'm adding that, is God's servant for what? Your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. In other words, capital punishment is a biblical issue. For he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Government is to preserve law and order. And then Peter says another responsibility of the government is to praise those who do good. Find Proverbs 31. Go back to Proverbs 31. I'll give you a moment to find it. Proverbs 31. I want you to see this. I believe we have a passage here where King Lemuel's mother, I believe this is a reference to, from Solomon's mother to Solomon, okay? Solomon's mom is giving him instruction, and Solomon is the king. What is the king to do? And there's some responsibilities here. And responsibility is to praise those who do good or simply help people. Several weeks ago when we had the service for Lou here, I saw in the back, Todd Platts was here, and I went up and greeted him, and boy, I would appreciate him so much because he understood these principles. He understood that a role of government is to preserve law and order and to help people, be a blessing, serve people. That's Todd. I said, Todd, we need you back in D.C. And he just smiled, right? Proverbs 31, verse 4. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget. See that? What has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. I don't think anybody ought to drink alcohol myself, and I could go to the Bible to show you that. But particularly those in government authorities. And we're told if you knew how much alcohol flowed in D.C., you'd be shocked at your money, our money, being spent on what's not good. Look at verse 8 and 9. Proverbs 31, verse 8 and 9. Here's the role of government. Here's what the king is supposed to be doing, the president, all those in authority. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of those who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. That's the big picture. That's the big picture. All right, number three in your notes. Get back to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to ask you to turn somewhere else. So I love hearing Bible pages turning. The manner of submission we mentioned before is voluntary. Okay, no one's holding a gun. This is voluntary, Peter. Peter is telling you to do it from the heart, from the inside out. So this is voluntary. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, he says, "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God." You're to do this voluntarily. I'll give you 30 seconds or more to find this. Maybe I won't. I don't know. Time flies. I want to read a couple of verses from Jeremiah 29. You need to see this. This is so contemporary. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. Find it. It's a big book. All right. You can't miss it. Jeremiah 29. And if you're studying Daniel with us this on Wednesdays, this is reading through Daniel. This is so practical. So practical. In Jeremiah chapter 29, God is addressing the exiled Jews who are taken into captivity by God through pagan leaders because of their disobedience. God is punishing his own people. They're in a foreign land. You and I, if we're in Jesus Christ, right now we're in a foreign land. We are exiles, right? We're sojourners. We're pilgrims. And this is how God tells us to live. It's amazing because remember last week we talked about how sometimes we just want to retreat or fight or hide. This is what God instructs the exiles. This is amazing. Jeremiah 29, beginning at verse 4. You there? Bring your Bibles to church, okay, and open them, all right? It's a good thing so you can see this yourself. And that's what we're trying to do on Wednesdays when the guys get together, when the ladies get together, and whatever else. And I'm meeting with another guy during the week. It's exciting. Verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to the exiles. These are the Jewish people put in a foreign land, Babylon, because of their disobedience. To those whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what he tells the exiles to do. He says this, verse 5, build houses, live in them, plant gardens, eat their produce. Take wives, have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease. In other words, live your life. Just be productive. Wherever you're at, be productive. Do what you're supposed to do. And then he says this in verse 7. And this is what Daniel did for every foreign, pagan, despicable ruler he served. This is what Daniel did in verse 7. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. What's he saying? Be a blessing to the nation, to the city, to the township you're part of. And that's why it's great when Christians get involved, if God calls you to get involved in politics, in the public realm. Be a blessing. Do all you can for their good in the meanwhile. And again, we mentioned Daniel. If you want to find a super example of somebody who did that like a shining star, it was Daniel. It was Daniel off the page. All right. Number four. Back to 1 Peter chapter 2. And you know this. You know the answer to number 4. The reason for submission. What's the reason for submission? I won't even read verse 13 and verse 15. It's simply God's will. God tells us, says, for the Lord's sake, because God said so, we do this. Not because we might like the person that's ruling. Not because we might have voted for him or not voted for him. We do it because it is God's will. And then number five. Number five, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, talks about the life of submission, gives us four commands or four exhortations, verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. We'll sum up this part right here, okay? Here it is, bottom line. He says in verse 17, honor, who are we to honor? What's it say? Everyone, honor everyone. Honor everyone. Honor everyone. That means respect all people. That means you and I, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be kind to everyone, whether they're kind to us or not. I don't mind being nice to people who are nice to me. You know, that's really easy. But we're to honor everyone, all right? We're to treat every person with dignity and respect because ultimately that pleases God. Ultimately, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, mankind, womankind is created in the image of God, right? And we want to see him come to Christ. So honor everyone. Number two, second command, he says here, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. That's a higher obligation. Hebrews 13, verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. You know, there's a little verse here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Write this down. Galatians 6, verse 10. All right? Galatians 6, verse 10, Paul says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. That's what Peter says. Be kind to everybody, all right? Be kind, honor everybody. But then he says this. Then he says in verse 10, and especially, to those who are the household of faith, right? We're kind to everybody, but especially to the brotherhood and sisterhood, those who love Jesus Christ. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God. Fear God. And Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, we need to fear the one who can destroy body and soul in Sheol. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, Peter and the apostle said, we must obey God rather than men. When men get out of their lane and want us to do something God says we can't do, God is to be obeyed. And we'll cover that in a moment or so. And then number four, honor the king. Honor the king. Now, since you've been so good to come here this morning, I want to give you another sermon. Okay, how's that? Here's number two. You've been really good this morning. Pull out that large sheet of paper if you have one. You all have one of these. It's called the Submission to Civil Authorities, Random Concluding Lessons and Reminders. You all have that? All right. Okay, good. All right. Very good. As I was studying this during the week, and I call this random because I was studying this during this week. I just started writing things. I thought, I'll give you four lessons, seven lessons. Well, it ended up with 15 things, and some of them are observations, some of them are reminders, some of them are controversy. I don't know. We'll go over these, okay? I'm going to read through this and look up a couple verses here, and I'll give you a few more things to write down. Okay, here's some concluding lessons and reminders for now. And again, if you have a question, jot it down, email me, call me, and if I can deal with it, we can, or if maybe one of our other guys could do that. Number one, I just want to lay this out. I just want to lay this out, okay? Be clear. Number one, every governing authority, from the president to the bus crossing guard, okay? And Chuck, you too, are in their position by God's sovereign appointment. I want to hear an amen, Mike. Amen. Louder than that. Amen. He's come through COVID, so he's a little weak this morning, all right? All right. Listen to Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. Listen to Daniel chapter... Do you have these verses written out for you? You have those? You don't? Oh, you're going to have to write these down. Okay. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. You don't have to look these up. Just listen. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. Daniel says, speaking of God, he changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. We just read from Romans chapter 13 where it says, those who are in authority are there by God's sovereign appointment. Okay? Proverbs 21 verse 1 said, the heart of the king is like channel of water. He can move the king's heart, the governor's heart, wherever he wants to. God's in control. God's sovereign. Now, Do you think the presidential election was manipulated this last season? Probably. Election tampering is a global problem that's been going on for years, and I am increasingly disappointed when I see America's role in this all over the place throughout history. It's not just recent, all right? And I think we'd be shocked at the truth if it should ever get out. Tampering or no tampering, who's in control? Who's in control? Who's sovereign? Whose decree will be carried out? Believer in Jesus Christ, don't forget that, okay? Don't forget that, because we do. And then we listen to every conspiracy theory out there. Hey, we're to be responsible citizens. We're to vote. We're to do what's right. We're to speak up for evil. But bottom line, God's in control. That doesn't mean I'm passive. That means I can rest securely knowing God's will be done. Number two, let me remind you that every governing authority is basically sinful. Every governing authority, because we're sinful. Are you a sinner? I'm a sinner. Paul said he's the chief of sinners. Right? He wanted number one place. We're still sinners. And if you trust Christ as your Savior, we're sinners saved by grace, but we're still sinners. And we're still battling with sin. And we're finding in our little groups that we get together, and that's why we keep them real small, so we can ask each other how we're doing. We find the more we're growing in the Word of God, the more we see what great sinners that not one another is a sinner, that we're sinners. Paul David Tripp, is a writer out there. You can find him on the internet. He just wrote a book called Journey to the Cross. It's like 40-day devotional on the way to Easter. And day 14 really caught me. I've Xeroxed this for a few people. Tripp writes, one of the scariest and most destructive aspects of sin in its ability is its ability not only to blind us, sin blinds us, but it blinds us to our blindness. You catch that? Listen, one of the scariest and most destructive aspects of sin is its ability not only to blind us, but to blind us to our blindness. Wow. That's why we need the Word of God, because the Word of God exposes us. That's why we need one another. Every governing authority is basically sinful. Don't be surprised. Number three. And this is reminders and lessons. Disciples of Jesus Christ, that's those who have placed their faith in Christ and Christ alone. We are called to a life of submission with a continual attitude of grace. Not I want my rights, not being doormats either, but daily dying to self. Number four, and you'll like this, human government is temporary. Human government is temporary. Where is Hitler today, by the way? Where is he? He's in the grave. Where, go through the cemeteries all over the world. You can visit great government cemeteries. They're dead. They're gone. No matter who they are, how powerful they were, it's temporary. Only God and the kingdom's eternal. Number five, government is a part of God's creation for our good. We looked at scriptures for that. Number six, one of my professors at Dallas said, no government that consistently rewards evil and punishes good can long survive, because evil is ultimately self-destructive. Sin has a self-destructive principle in the Word of God. He's telling you. Number seven, understand your political rights in this country. You better have a copy of the Constitution and Bill of Rights, and you better start reading it. Because there's people out there who are going to tell you it says something it doesn't say, all right? That was elected as our governing document, and people out there just can't change the rules whenever they feel like it, okay? You know that, right? Number eight, always be guarding your heart and working to maintain a godly attitude. That's all of us. Number nine, and this is where it takes discernment. This is why you need to study your documents. We need to know when to speak up and choose our battles wisely. Some people want to go to jail or will go to jail over wearing a mask. Is that worth the line in the sand? I don't think so. Put on a couple masks if it comes to that, right? Don't worry about that one. Number 10, follow the example, and this is in every area, not just government, follow the example of the Lord Jesus. Listen to what it says in Mark chapter 12, verse 13. And you know this. It says, one day the Pharisees and some of the Herodians came to trap Jesus. They hated him. And so they came to him and said, Teacher, they're trying to flatter him. Teacher, we know that you are a true and you don't care about anyone's opinions, for you are not swayed by appearances, but truly teach the way of God. Here it is. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? What should we do? And what were they hoping he would say? No, don't pay taxes to Caesar. He's a created being. No, don't do that. And they could get him. Well, you know the answer because you read your Bible. And it says in verse 15, knowing their hypocrisy. Don't you love the wisdom of Jesus? He said to them, why put me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me look at it. Bring me a quarter. All right? And they brought him one, and he said to them, whose likeness and inscription is on this? And they said, whose inscription was on the denarius? Whose picture was on there? Caesar. And Jesus said to them, render to things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Honor the king, fear God. Right? And he said, they marveled at him. They couldn't get him. Follow Jesus. Number 11. No one has absolute and final authority except God. No one has final and absolute and final authority except God. Acts 5:29. The apostle said, we must obey God rather than man. But make sure you know what the issue is. Make sure you know what God says. All right, because I hear a lot of people out there saying they got to obey God rather than man, and they don't know what either one is saying. Know your Bible. Number 12, only Jesus Christ is king. All right, only Jesus Christ is king. There's one king. Number 13, and I won't say a lot here, but this is our present challenge that we're living through today as I speak, right now. Human government is crossing lanes. And that's dangerous when a tractor trailer does that, right? And I'm in one lane and he decides, but you never do that, right? You're a good guy. They're crossing lanes. I watched, and maybe you need to go home and watch this. You could find it on YouTube. I watched Senator Rand Paul questioning Dr. Levine the other day. I was horrified because this is where we're going. My wife told me yesterday, she said, we didn't know this. Dr. Seuss is no longer accepted. Not Dr. Seuss. My buddy in Iowa texted me and he said, you know, you can't have a Mr. Potato Head anymore. I said, man, we're holding ours. We put it down the cellar. All right, you're not getting ours. Government has redefined, well, they have no business messing it. They've redefined marriage. I was in Weiss yesterday. It doesn't matter what store you go in. And I turned to my left where they have all those magazines. And one of the respected ones, I don't read them, you know, because I don't know the people in them anyhow. People magazine has two ladies married, celebrating them. You know who they are. That's despicable. We are accepting that. That's crossing lanes. That's crossing lanes. All right. They have, right now, they are at warp quick speed trying to redefine creative mandates. No, God said, God created male and female. You're either a male or you're a female, okay? And I understand people coming from confusing homes and backgrounds and may need a little help with some understanding, and we need to be patient and gracious and understanding where some people are coming from, because they're coming from horrendous backgrounds. But you know what? Nobody has the right to redefine what God has already mandated, okay? Not going to tell us that, all right? Government, and this is what gets us upset about what Dr. Levine had to say, government is usurping the place and the authority of the family. And they have no right to do that. God gave each of us different lanes to run in. I know of churches, and maybe you know of churches too, who try to mandate things for the home and get involved and tell wives what the... No. You stay in your lane. You stay in your lane. Tax-funded abortion here and abroad, it's going on and on and on. Our present challenge, human government, trying to cross the lanes, and God's people need to speak up. God's people need to speak up. And by the way, folks, before you can speak up, make sure you know what God says. We're horrified in going through this little life transformation. We've been reading the books and studying this. We are horrified. Maybe we shouldn't be surprised. We are horrified at the amount of people who are in church every week never read the Bible. Never read the Bible. Number 14, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, still in the Bible. What's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say? But trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All right, make sure you're doing it God's way. And number 15, I want to end with a good one. They're all good. Number 15. I believe this, Chuck. I know you do too. The absolute best friend, cheerleader, encourager, supporter, any governmental leader should have is a genuine disciple, follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? The absolute best friend. Why? Because we're told to pray for them. And you study, you go back and study the book of Daniel. Daniel was working for their benefit. Jeremiah said this thing, work for their good. Work for their good. We pay our taxes. We obey the law. All for the sake of the gospel, to demonstrate we belong to another kingdom. Let's pray this morning. There's more. I hope I provoked you a little bit. I hope you have some questions. I hope you'll stay for Sunday school. We have some more questions, if you didn't pick those up, to wrestle with a little bit. This is good. We need to know the Word. Father, we're thankful for your Word. We're thankful for its teaching. We're thankful for the freedom we have to meet and teach and worship and praise your name and proclaim the gospel. Father, we ask this morning, if there is someone here who has never, never placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that as they see what's going on in the country and the world and life, that they would turn from whatever they're holding on to, whatever they're trusting in, and believe in their heart that when Christ died on that cross, He died for them, securing salvation. May they look to Christ and live. Father, may we be good citizens, as you have called us here to be aliens and pilgrims and sojourners. May we be faithful citizens. May we be kind and compassionate and prayer warriors for our president, our vice president, our governor, our leaders. And may we be submissive. And Lord, give us the discernment to know when the lines are crossed and what we should do. Father, we're so thankful for many people who love the Lord Jesus who are in governing authorities. May we be encouraging them as well. And Father, may we glorify you and during this day see more come to Christ than ever. Thank you, Father, for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.